Today's shiur is Masechta Merakas, Daf Chaf Dalad. As we complete Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, today's Masechta. And we begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom, Amar Belezer. Says the Gemara Amar Belezer, Begimel Mekoymei Sofia Ruach HaKodesh. There are three places in Bezdin, as Mefarshim point out, certainly in the history of Klal Yisrael, Ruach HaKodesh has appeared many times. What the Gemara says is that here we find three times that publicly Ruach HaKodesh was visible in a Bezdin. Bezdino Shel Shem, Bezdino Shel Shmuel HaRamasi, Bezdino Shel Shlaima. The Gemara is going to explain each one of these situations. The Gemara speaks first about Bezdin Shel Shem, and as the Mefarshim point out, it wasn't actually in the Bezdin of Shem where this happened, because this event that we're going to discuss between Yehuda and Tamar happened many years after Shem was no longer in the world. What the Gemara means, explain the Mefarshim, is that the Bezdin that Shem had established was the Bezdin that was used for this situation between Yehuda and Tamar. We know that Tamar was Yehuda's daughter-in-law. She was married to Er Va'oinon. And Er Va'oinon both acted improperly, and they died without children. And Tamar had relations with her father-in-law, Yehuda. Yehuda not knowing that he was having a relationship with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And then when Tamar was discovered to be pregnant, the Pasuk says, V'yaki Yehuda, and when Tamar said, and she didn't say it explicitly, she only alluded, because Yehuda, after he had relationship with her, left with her different items, different personal items that belonged to him, to that she should be able to collect her payment. And instead of just saying explicitly that this is what you, Yehuda, had left with me, she said these are the items that belong to the person who had relationship with me. And at that point, Yehuda indeed said, that's what happened. And the Pasuk says, V'yaki Yehuda, V'yamit Satkimeni, instead of her being burnt. And the Mefarshim discuss, why should she be burnt if she had these relations? Some explain, because in those times, a woman who was a Shemeris Yavam, Tamar was a Shemeris Yavam, was not, if she had relations with someone else, she was Mechuyev Misa. Others say, given that she was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, and Yehuda was already at that point considered the Melech of Klal Yisrael, so it was a terrible embarrassment and a terrible act that his daughter-in-law should act that way, and therefore she was condemned to be burnt. But when she indicated, by showing these things, whom she was pregnant from, V'yaker Yehuda V'yoymet Sotgemeni, she is indeed right. Ask the Gemara Mano Yoda, how did Yehuda indeed know that she was pregnant with his child? Dilma Kehecha de Ozel Iu Lagaba, perhaps just like he had relations with her, perhaps Ozel Inish Namachrin Lagaba, someone else had relations with her. So how could he be certain that this was his child, and therefore say that she didn't do anything wrong? It must be, says the Gemara, because Yasa Abaskal of Amra, Abaskal came out and said, Memena Yotzu Kvushim, from me came out these hidden things. The Rivan gives two pshatim Kvushim. One pshat is that it's hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Malchus based David should emanate from Yehuda and Tamar, and therefore he did it in such a way that they shouldn't realize each other and come to have relations with each other. Another pshat is that Kavushim represents that from David and Tamar came out the leaders of Klal Yisrael, who were the Kavushim, who were the individuals who captured, who were the leaders and captured places on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Beis Din Shel Shmuel, what is the situation in Beis Din Shel Shmuel, the Ksiv? As the Pasuk says, Shmuel says to the people, Hini Anubi, Negra Shevenem Meshichai, say testimony against me before Hashem and before the one he anointed. Eshar mi lokachti, whose axe have I taken? V'yomru lo yashaktanu v'lo yitzasanu, you never defrauded nor did you oppress us. V'yomru alehem, and Yishmuel says to him, Eid Hashem b'chem, v'eid mashiach ayom zeh, k'lo matzasam bi'adim u'ma, you can never find with me anything that I took of yours. V'yomru, and they said eid. Ask the Gemara, the pasuk uses the word v'yomru, and he said, but that's an the word shouldn't be v'yomru, it should be v'yomru. He was speaking to all of Klal Yisrael, so the pasuk should use the word v'yomru. What does the v'yomru represent? It says the Gemara, yotz abaskel v'yomru. Abaskel came out and said, v'ama ani eid b'davazer, I could say eidus, that this is what happened. And the Mefarshim ask that we know the Gemara says Masechta Bamitzia loy b'shemayim hi. So how could we rely on Abasco? So I saw that the Klozmig Rebbe in the Shalos Hatshuvos Divrei Yatziv explains we can't rely on Abasco to paskin a halachic matter. Loy b'shemayim here. It's up to the Tanoim, the Amoraim, whoever the Rabbonim to paskin the Shaila. But here we're not speaking about a halachic question. Here we're referring to a situation of a metzias. What fact did or didn't happen? For that we could rely on a baskol. Then the famous episode, says the Gemara, Bestina Shleima. We all recall there were two women who both came with a child and said that this child was theirs, and they came to Shleima Melech to determine who was the true mother of the child. And Shlomo HaMelech said that the child should be split in half. And like that, they were able to realize who was the true mother of the child. The Ksiv, V'yad HaMelech V'yomer, T'no lonu es hayolot kachai. So, after he said this, the true mother, not being able to withstand that her child should be killed, said, give the other one the child rather than my child being killed. When that was said, Shlomo HaMelech realized and said that that must be the true mother who shows such pity and mercy on a child, and said, Tnu lo es hayeled hachai v'meislam shemesua, give her the child, do not kill him, ki he imay, she is truly the mother. Asked the Gemara, no yada, how was Shlomo certain of his psak? Dilma rume, perhaps she was tricking him. Says the Gemara, Yotz Abaskel V'Amri Hi'ima, because Abaskel came out and said that she is the true mother. The Mefarshim discuss if indeed do we need to understand this entire episode. Why would the woman who was really not the mother want a child who wasn't hers? So one pshat is that both of these women were almonas who had no other children, and they would have to have Yibum HaChalitza, which they didn't want to wait for. So if they had a child, they wouldn't have to have Yibum HaChalitza. Only if they don't have a child, they have to have Yibum HaChalitza. That's why both of them came with a claim that they had, that this was their child, that woman should be not required to wait for Yibum HaChalitza. The Chida says a pshat very similar along these lines. He says, actually, what the situation here was, it was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And it was really the daughter-in-law who had lost the child, and the mother-in-law had this child. And this daughter-in-law was now an almana who would have to wait for this child to grow up to give her Yibum V'Chalitza. So what she did was, she said, this child was mine. By saying that this child was hers, she would not require Yibum Chalitza, and she could get married immediately. Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid and the Sefer Chassidim says that actually in those times the custom was that if there was an orphan, a young orphan, the parents, the mother, was appointed to be the guardian of the estate. And that was the case here, where this child was a young orphan and they were fighting who was the true mother so they should get the custody of the estate. And based on this Gemara, based on this episode with Shlomo HaMelech, the Rosh and other Rishonim teach us a number of halacha lemaisa in the Torah. One is, from here we see, and we've made this point previously in our shiurim, that when there's a din Torah, what we're supposed to look for is the truth. That's what's supposed to be. And here too, Shlomo Melech did not follow any of the typical rules of testimony, of edus, etc. He looked for the truth, and the truth was that who the real mother was. Furthermore, from here we see that when there's a din Torah about who is the mother, about the custody of a child, we have to look at what's best for the child. And therefore, in this situation, Shlomo Melech, seeing that this woman had more mercy, he understood that this was the woman that was more appropriate to be the given custody. Amar Rava, says Rava, Mamai, how do we know that we relied on a baskal in all these situations? Dilma Yehuda. Let's go back to each one of the situations that we've discussed, says the Gemara. Dilma Yehuda, Kim Dechosh Yarchi V'yoymi, he made a calculation on the months and days when he had relations with her, V'srami, and it turned out that she was pregnant based on the day that he had relations with her. So he said, the Chazina Mechaskinan. He said to himself, I know for sure that I had relations with her. The Loi Chaskinan, but what I don't know, Loi Mechaskinan, I don't have to be concerned about. And that's why he was comfortable in being sure that she was pregnant from him. Shmuel Nami, the fact that the Pasuk used the words V'yomer, says the Gemara, is not really a proof, because we could say, Kol Yisrael Nami Kor B'Loshin Yechidi. All of Klal Yisrael we find are called in a singular. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Yisrael Noisha Vashem. So all of Klal Yisrael is called Beloshin Yochid. Shlomo Nalmi, and the same thing with Shlomo Melech, it wasn't any great baskal that was needed. Just Shlomo Melech used, as we explained a moment ago, his common sense. Midahokam Rachma. Because he saw that this woman showed such mercy and pity on this child, V'loy Kamarachma, not the other one. It was a clear indication to him who was the true mother. Ella, says the Gemara, we have a Kabbalah that all these cases were based on a baskal. Says the Gemara, Darshep Simloi, Sheish Meis V'Shloish Esri Mitzvahs Nemra L'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was given 613 mitzvahs. Shlosh Meis V'Shishim Chamesh Lavin. He was told 365 Lavin, Kaminyan Maisachama, corresponding to the amount of days there are in the solar year. Or Messiah, Mabon Mishmanim, Essay 248, Mitzvah to say, Keneged Ivar of Shalodom. And here we know that there are a number of Sforim that were written ready by the Rishonim. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs, the Sefer Smag, the Baal Hilchus Gedoilus, many Sforim that were written to count the number of mitzvahs. And most Rishonim are of the opinion, the fact that there are Taryag mitzvahs is indeed a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and they attempted to identify which were the Taryag mitzvahs. However, there are Rishonim that say it's not necessarily a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, rather Rav Simloi was the one that said that there are Taryag mitzvahs, and they then went and attempted to identify what were those Taryag mitzvahs, because we need to know what's a Daraisa, what's a Darabonon. We also need to know what is considered a mitzvah in the Torah, and what is only derived from a mitzvah in the Torah. So Mepharshim asked, we learned the Masechta Sanhedrin, that there were Zayin mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Those Zayin mitzvahs Bnei Noach are also mitzvahs that apply to us. Furthermore, we know that there are mitzvahs that are in the Torah before Har Sinai. The mitzvah of Giran Nosha, the mitzvah of Purur Revu, the mitzvah of Smila. So Mepharshim point out that certainly all of those mitzvahs, even though they appear and were already given in the Torah before Kabbalah Satorah, that doesn't change the fact that they were repeated at Har Sinai, and that's why it's considered that we were given 613 mitzvahs at Har Sinai. Amar Rav Nuna, says Rav Nuna, Mikra, what Pasuk teaches us this halacha? Because the Pasuk says, Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, Torah Gematria, Sheish Meis V'Chat Tzori Hava, 611. So I saw the Mepharshim say, how does this Pasuk teach us about all the mitzvahs? Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe. The Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu to all of us. But we know then not all of us could fulfill all the mitzvahs. There's some mitzvahs that apply to Kahanim, to Levihim, to Yisraelim. There's certain mitzvahs that apply in Yisrael, and certain mitzvahs that apply in Chutz Laretz. Torah Tzivalon Maisha. Maisha gave us a Torah of Taryag mitzvahs. My Rasha Kehilas Yaakov. How could all of those mitzvahs be fulfilled? Kehilas Yaakov. If we combine all of Klal Yisrael, then all of the mitzvahs will be able to be fulfilled. So ask the Gemara. Again, here we're using the word Torah to indicate there's 613 mitzvahs, but really the gematria of Torah is 611. Answers the Gemara, Anoich v'la yelecha. The two first Aseres HaDibros of Anoich v'la yelecha mihagvur shmanim, we heard them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mefarshim discuss big machloikis rishonim, if Anoichi, which is the first mitzvah, which speaks about having a Amunah Hashem, is considered one of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Rambam, using this Gemara, indicates that Amunah is a mitzvah, one of the Taryag mitzvahs, and he uses our Gemara as the Raya, because our Gemara says that these are the two mitzvahs that complete the count of 613. The Ramban and other Rishonim suggest that Amunah is not one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So how do we understand our Gemara? They say that Lo Yilcha actually has in it two mitzvahs. One is that one may not construct an Avodah Zarah, and the other is that one may not worship an Avodah Zarah. Why do these Rishonim hold that Amunah is not considered one of the mitzvahs? So they explain, because Amunah is not a mitzvah. Amunah is the foundation of our religion, and Amunah is the foundation of our belief on which everything else is built, and therefore it cannot be considered an independent mitzvah. How do we defend the Rambam against this challenge? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that even though Amunah for itself may not be a mitzvah, but there's a mitzvah for one to teach his children and his family to pass on the Mesoira of Amunah. And that is in what the Rambam means is a mitzvah. Another pshat that I saw is that a person has the obligation to contemplate and consider belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara means that Amunah is that's what the Rambam means that Amunah is a mitzvah. To constantly think about looking at the world and looking at the wonders of all the Nisim and all the great things that Hashem created and does, and coming to the recognition that Hashem is Hashem. A third pshat in understanding the Rambam is that a person is supposed to avoid contacting people or coming in contact with people that don't believe in Hashem or learning their philosophies, because that is a violation of having Amunah. Here the Gemara says that only the first two Dibros we heard directly from Hashem. But there are Midrashim that say that all, and that's Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, that all of the Aseres HaDibros were said by Hashem. How do we reconcile that? So one Pshat is that Hashem first said all the Aseres HaDibros. We can't even explain what this means. Like Zoch V'Sham V'Dibe Echa Nemru was said in one way, in one sentence. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu started explaining each one separately, and only the first two Dibros were explained by Hashem. The rest were explained by Moshe Benu. Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that, another Pshat is that all Aseres HaDibros were said by Hashem, but they weren't understood by the people. Only the first two Dibros were they able to understand directly from Hashem. Simen Damashma Ksak says the Gemara, Bar David Vamidna Malach Esrei. Here too we need to understand this Gemara. The Rishonim discussed this. Pash Pshat the Gemara is saying, and we're going to continue learning with this, that David HaMelech, others as the Gemara say, reduced the number of mitzvahs to 11, to 6, whatever number we're going to learn. So Mefarshim, of course, find this Gemara very hard to understand. It's impossible to say that David HaMelech reduced the amount of mitzvahs that we have to have. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that David HaMelech saw that in his time, people were particularly weak in the observance of the mitzvahs that we're now going to mention, and that's why he strengthened them in these mitzvahs. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that by fulfilling the mitzvahs, one is protected. And until the time of David HaMelech said you have to fulfill, the halacha was, you have to fulfill all Taryag mitzvahs to be worthy of this divine protection. David HaMelech reduced the list to 11, that by fulfilling these 11 mitzvahs, one has divine protection. Another pshat is that we know, as it says in Pirkei Avos, "She iatu yodeya matan scharon shel mitzvahs." We don't know which are the mitzvahs for which there's greatest schar or not. However, David HaMelech and the others that we're going to mention in our Gemara realized and recognized that there was a time that people had to know which were the more important mitzvahs for which there was greatest schar. And that's what David HaMelech listed. And yet a third pshat, another pshat that I saw, is that David HaMelech saw that by telling people to fulfilling these 11 broad categories of mitzvahs, one could come to fulfill all of the Targum mitzvahs. These are the key to fulfillment of all the mitzvahs. So, Bar David HaMelech Malachet Esrei, Diksiv. The pasuk says in Kapitel Tezvov, Mizmel David, Miyoga ba'alecha, Miyishka b'har katshecha, Hoylech tomim ufoyel tzedek, V'doyve emes bovovoy, Loi roga l'shoynoi, Loi osu l'reu ra, V'cherpa loi nosa k'roiva, Nivza b'ein of nimas, V'has yira Hashem yichabed, Nishbar l'hara v'lo yomir, Kaspoi loi nosan b'neshech, V'shoykar al noki loi lokach, Oysa eila loi yomit loilam. And now the Gemara is going to explain each one of these examples. Hoylech tamim, what is the example of somebody going in pure faith? Zavram, Diksev, Hesalech lefonei vayei samim. And as Daruch Lener explains, certainly it is impossible for anybody to be exactly similar to Avram Avinu. But it is our obligation to attempt to emulate his behavior in his Amunah Hashem. Poyel Tzedek, says the Gemara, refers to Keren Abel Chilkiah. So Posh Pshat, that Rishonim explain, is that Abel Chilkiah was a worker, and he was such an honest employee that if while he was working somebody would come over to him and say hello, he wouldn't respond. Why? Because he was completely devoted to his job. The Mashah however has a different pshat, because the Mashah says he could have made up with his employer that he should be allowed to respond to the greeting of Talmid Chachamim, or he could always quit his job if that's the kind of job that he has, that it's impossible to respond to a greeting. And therefore, another pshat that the Mashah suggests is that the Gemara says, in Masech Tiksubis, Oysa Tzedakah B'chaleis, Zeh Hazon Bonav Ubenoysov. Somebody who properly supports his family is considered Oysa Tzedakah B'chaleis. And that was what Abba Chilkiah did. He was very careful in properly supporting his family. Continues the Gemara. V'doiva emes b'vavoy kigoyin resafra. Refers to resafra. Resafra was an individual who somebody came over to resafra to offer him to buy something that resafra had for sale and offered him a price. Rav Safra, however, was in the middle of Krishma, and therefore he didn't respond. The person, not realizing that that is why Rav Safra wasn't responding, assumed that the reason Rav Safra wasn't responding because Rav Safra wanted a bigger price. So he kept on raising the price. When Rav Safra finished davening, instead of accepting the higher price, he said, since I was prepared to accept the lower price that you offered, that is the price that I will take, and that's why Rav Safra is considered an individual that's Doiva Emes Bovovai. Mefarshim point out that Rav Safra treated, the halach is, we learned, this is a nice introduction as we're about to, Mitzvah Shem, start learning Mesechta Shavuos. The halach is that we're asked by all obligations, one doesn't have the obligation until he actually articulates it. By Hegdish, as soon as one thinks about something, it's considered an obligation. And here we see that Rav Safra treated all of his even mundane affairs like Hegdish, that as soon as he made up something in his head, he already considered it as if he was obligated. Lairoga al-Shoinoi, say Yaakovinu, refers to Yaakovinu, the Ksiv, Ula Yimsheni Avi. We know Yaakov Avinu was concerned that he should, that when he disguised himself as Esav, the Yisav Einakim Sateya, that my father shouldn't consider me a deceiver.
So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. On the contrary, here we see that Yaakov Avinu did something which we could perhaps consider dishonest. So why is the Gemara using Yaakov Avinu as the model of someone who's honest? I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is the fact that Yaakov Avinu was refusing to do it. Only until Rivka forced him and told him, Olai kilaloscha b'ni, do we see how honest Yaakov Avinu was. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that this entire event that Yaakov Avinu disguised himself, he could have easily avoided. He could have just gone to Yitzchak and disclosed to Yitzchak who Esav really was. But Yaakov Avinu was a person that lo roga avoshayna, did not want to speak bad about other people, and that's why he didn't go to tell his father Yitzchak who his son Esav really was. Another pshat that I saw from the Meritz Chayis, very much connected to a pshat that we learned earlier in our Masechta. We know, we learned from the Gra, that there are two words in Lashon HaKodesh that are very similar. Pen and Ulai. They both mean perhaps. The difference between pen and Ulai is that pen means that something may happen, but I don't want it to happen. Ulai means something may happen, which I actually do want to happen. Yaakov Avinu said, Ulai Yimsheni Yavi. Maybe my father will catch me, and I actually do want to be caught, because I don't want to be left being a deceiver. A person who doesn't improperly compete with someone else. So the Chasam Sofer explains this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer says that there are times where it's halachically prohibited from doing something that will opening a competition to someone else. Here, the Gemara means that even in a situation where it's halachically permissible, the best example would be, let's say somebody opens a business in a place where that's the district. Somebody opens up a business in the garment district where everybody's in the garment business. The halacha is that still it's improper for someone. This person went flim mishur sadin and did not do so. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw from the Chasam Sofer, a very interesting pshat. The Chasam Sofer says that although in all areas of business there's always a concern that somebody shouldn't be yored l'umnes chaveroi, that doesn't exist in the case of Torah. There's no such thing as competition in Torah. On the contrary, there should be more shiurim in learning Torah. And that's what he said, that he went into the business of Torah, because since the business of Torah, there is no concern of Yarl Umnishal Chaveroi, and he was able to avoid any of these type of questions. V'chaber loynosa al kroivoi, zamakarvas kroivov. So I saw two pshatim here also. One pshat is that if he had relatives that did not act religiously as they were supposed to be, he would try to get them to act properly. Another pshat is that he didn't show favoritism to his relatives. He did whatever it took to make sure that his relatives should act properly. Nirza be'ema nimas, zechizkiya melech. This refers to chizkiya melech. Shigirer atzmas aviv, that his father Achaz, who was a rasha, he dragged his bones, the mitish chavolim. He didn't give him the proper respect. Some say it was the Chizkiah wasn't concerned about his own covet. He was more concerned about Kiddush Shem Shemayim, showing that this is what happens to people who are Risham. Another pshat is this is the way he wanted to show have a kapara for his father. By being embarrassed this way, he would have a kapara. Item of Farshim asks, what about the issue of kibra of the aim, that to treat a parent this way? So Farshim answer, the only time there's such a requirement is ba'oysa ma'asa amcha, when the father behaves as he's supposed to. He was an individual, Achaz was an individual who didn't, and therefore there was no concern of kibra of the aim. This yirei Hashem yichabei ze Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda. This refers to Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda. Shebishar Shairoi Talmud Chacham. When he would see a Talmud Chacham, Haim Oimen Mekisoi, he would get up from his throne, or Mechapkoi Menashkoi, and would hug him and kiss him. V'kareloi Avi, Avi, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mairi, Mairi. So Mepharshim explained that even though he was a melech, and normally there's a concern of Kvayd Malchus, he wasn't concerned about the Kvayd HaMalchus under these circumstances when it came to giving kavod to a Talmud Chacham. Or, as the Mepharshim go on to explain, the Meshech Chacham discusses this, he says, since we know that a melech has to carry a Sefer Torah with him all of the time, Yoshafet, even though he was carrying the Sefer Torah, since it wasn't visible, he showed Erech Eretz to Talmid Chachamim. Daruch Haner explains what is the wording of Avi, Rebbe, and Meiri. Avi represents like a father. Just like a father supports physically his children, so too should we understand that our Rabbeim bring us not just Olam Haba, but they also bring us Olam Hazeh. Rebbe refers to the bringing us Olam Haba, and Meiri represents, as the Gemara says, Yei Meir Rabach K'mayr Shemayim, the kind of respect that one has to show to his Rebbe. Nishba la'rav alay yomir Rabbi Yochanan. Damer Rabbi Yochanan, ahei betanis etch oval abesi. People would invite Rabbi Yochanan to their homes, which Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to go to. So the way he would make an excuse is saying that I made a shvur that I wouldn't eat today, so I can't come eat in your home. Even though he only said this to as an excuse not to eat, not to have to go to these people's homes, still he fulfilled his shvur and he would not eat, even though he didn't accept it ever, certainly not with the hilchot, the halachas involved in accepting a shvur. Kaspoy le'nosam b'mashach, afil b'ribis ov t'kachavim. He didn't even take ribis from a goy. So there are Rishonim that say from here we see that l'chatchil one shouldn't lend money to a goy with ribis. Most Rishonim and the halach is that one may lend money to a goy with ribis. So if so, what was so great about him? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that he didn't lend money to a goy with ribis out of concern that it may bring him to lend money to ribis with ribis to a Jew. Another pshat is that he was about tshuva, and the halach is that someone who previously was lending money with ribis may not lend money with ribis to a goy because he may revert back to his old ways. Another pshat is as follows. Let's say a Jew has money that he can lend, and there's a guy that approaches him to borrow money where he could collect interest, and there's a Jew who comes to borrow money from whom he cannot collect interest. What he did was he still lent money to the Jew with losing the opportunity to collect ribis versus lending it to a guy. Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi had a sharecropper who every Friday would bring him that week's fruit. One week, we know that the Dinei Torah were typically done on Monday and Thursday. One week, that sharecropper had a Dinei Torah by Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi on Thursday. So he figured, since he's coming to town anyway, today's the day, he'll bring already the fruit today. Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, his intention therefore was not an intention to give ribis. Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi considered it a situation of ribis and refused to get involved with the Torah. Ksiv, David HaMelech continues in Perek Tezvav saying, Oise Eile Lo Yimet Lo Oilam. Says the Gemara, Kishayi Rav Gamliel Magil Mikra Azal Yabaycha. When Gamliel would learn this pasuk, he would cry. Am Amanda Ovid Lekula. Is it only someone who fulfills all of these characteristics? Hu Deloyimet. He won't fall. Hachad Minayu. If he only acts properly in one of these ways. Yimet. Amalei. So they responded. Miksiv. Does the pasuk say, Oisa Kol Eila? Doesn't say Oisa Kol Eila. Oisa Eila Ksiv. Even if you did some of them, it's enough. Afil v'chad minayu. Even one of them is enough that a person should have all the schar. And he proves it. Dilay teima hacha. Siv krocher, and the pasuk says, after the pasuk lists all the averus of arayis, the pasuk says, al tetamu b'chal eila. Hasanami will we argue. Hanegei b'chal eila. Only if somebody has relations with all of the women mentioned there. Huda metama. That's how he becomes Tomei. B'chad b'nayu loy. But if he only has relations with one of them, he doesn't become Tomei. Obviously difficult to understand. Ella, lav, how must we understand the pasuk? B'achas m'kaleila. That as soon as he has relations with one of these women, he's considered Tomei. Similarly here too. Hachnami, b'achas m'kaleila. Just doing one of these things brings the person tremendous schar. Continues the Gemara. Ba Yishaya, came Yishaya v'midim al sheish, reduced the list to six. The Ksiv, Hoylech tzedokos, v'doyve mishorim, b'mayis b'betza v'mashokos, noyer kapa m'tmayach b'shoychat, oitim oznoi m'shmaya domim, v'oitzim enav m'rois b'ra. The Gemara goes and explains each one of these cases. Hoylech tzedokos Avram Avinu refers to Avram Avinu the Ksiv. As we learned, Avram Avinu is kidatav l'manashi yitzavis b'anav his base of Akrov. V'doyve sharim zeh she'enem makne p'nei chaver b'rabim. It's a person who's careful not to embarrass anyone else publicly. Moyes b'boyetz mashokas, he's careful not to get any improper money, is the example that we just is referring to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Elisha. Shmuel Elisha was a kohen, and we know a kohen is entitled to receiving matnois kahuna. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, if there was a person who typically would give the matnois kahuna to one kohen, and now he wanted to give the matnois kahuna to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, would refuse it. He felt that this was the money that belonged to him. Noir kapov b'tmayach b'shoichet, being careful not to receive shoichet, goes back to what we just learned about Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. Oitem elzna mishmaya domim, d'leshama b'tzlusa d'tzurvim rabbonim, he never would hear how rabbonim are embarrassed b'shosik. He would always protest if he heard Talmidei Chachamim were being embarrassed. What is the example? Kegon Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. So Mefarshim, so Rivon brings a fascinating Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia. He said that Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, when he died, his widow saw that one worm came out of his ear. And at night, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon appeared to her and says, this one worm represents the one time that I heard people speaking disparagingly about Talmidei Chachamim, and I wasn't prepared, and I didn't say anything. So to explain to Mefarshim, it's only somebody so great that it only happened once in his life that he heard and didn't say anything. That's why he had this oynish. Somebody who typically always hears and doesn't say anything wouldn't have had such a story. And in fact, I saw a very nice pshat. We remember the pasuk in the Chumash where Yosef asks the Sar Hamashkim to remind him about Yosef's plight in prison. And the pasuk says that Yosef, because he relied, the Medrash says, Ashrei Geva Asher Yiftach BaHashem. Who is a person that shows confidence in Hashem? Say Yosef. And because of that, he was kept in prison 2 more years because he asked the Sar Hamashkim to remember him. So ask him, Mefarshim, on the contrary, why is he considered the individual who's Beteich BaHashem if here we see just the opposite, that he didn't have Bitachin? Answer the Mefarshim. This was the only time in Yosef's life that he didn't show true emuna b'tochen. Vayitz ena be'eres b'ra, k'rab chibar abba. Dar rab chibar abba, zesh ena mstak v'nashim, b'shar sh'andus l'kvisa. Women would typically wash laundry by the river, and they would raise the skirts to keep them dry, and he would be careful not to walk there, not to see the women who, as their skirts were raised. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, a person who acts this way, Hum miroimim yishkan. Ba micha, v'midim ha-sholosh. Micha reduced the list to 3. Who are the 3 that he reduced the list to? The ksiv. Higid l'cha adam, ma toiv, o ma Hashem darish b'mcha, kiyem ha-sois mishpat, v'avas chesed, v'as ne'lechus ha-mishem alakecha. And as the Oracle now explains, these 3 categories represent mitzvahs of ben adam l'chaveroi, ben adam l'makoim, and the person between himself, that a person should always think what is the right thing to do. Asois mishpat, zadin. A person should think about doing justice properly. Avis chesed zugmil chesodim, vatznei leches, zuatzos ameis vachnosis kala. Says the Gemara. V'loi dvarim kavachoymer. We can make the following kavachoymer. Umad dvarim sh'ein darken lasis betzina. Things that are not normally done quietly. Alavaya, Rachman Slan, Achasana, Baruch Hashem, are typically done publicly. Still, Amr Torah, the Torah says, try to do it in the most sneezing of fashion. Amr Torah, Vatznei Lachas, certainly says the Gemara Dvarim, Shadak and Lachas Betzina, Alachas Kam Vakama, one should always look to do it in the most sneezing of fashion. Chaza Yishayo Vimidim Ashtayim. Yishayo then went and reduced the list to 2. Nemar koi Omar Hashem Shimru Mishpat Vasut Stoka. Ba Omas Vamida Malachas. Omas reduced the list just to one. Shnama koi Omar Hashem Labes Yisrael Dershuni Vachuyu. Just seek me out. Maskul of Rav Nachman Yitzchok, who says that's the way to understand the pasuk? Perhaps the way to understand the pasuk is Dershuni B'chol HaTorah Kula. What the pasuk is teaching us is try to understand all of the Torah. Rather, says the Gemara, Alba Chabakuk V'midan Malchus. It was Chabakuk that reduced the list to one. What is the one thing? Shenemar B'tzadik B'menosa Yichya. A person has to live with Amuna. And as the Tanya explains, and I saw the Maram Shik explains, a person who lives his life with Amuna is a person who is able to worship Hashem b'simcha, because he realizes that everything comes from Hashem. And a person who worships Hashem and serves Hashem with simcha is the person that is his avodas Hashem, is the true avodas Hashem. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that Chabakuk was the son, the Ben HaShunamis, and he had Tchias HaMesim through Elisha. And that's what the pasuk is teaching us. For tzaddik b'menasa yichya, one is not only supposed to have a muna in Hashem, and one is also supposed to have a muna in tzaddikim. So some sefer asks that we know the famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos that Hillel said to the ger for haftal reyach kamaycha is zek lagol b'tayra. So how is our Gemara not mentioning that? So Mefarshim, so says the Chasam Sofer, V'haft l'rach k'maych is a very important mitzvah indeed, but it only can be considered a mitzvah if it's based on a muna. It's based on the tzadik b'munasa yichya, then the haft l'rach k'maych can be valuable. Om Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, Arba gzeiros gozer Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have made four difficult gzeiros, and Bo Abba Nevim Bitlum. And the way the Mefarshim explained is that, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu did not mean anything difficult for Klal Yisrael with these gzeiros. However, we don't understand the psukim, and therefore, to us, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was being somewhat harsh, and the Nevim had to be mevatel those gzeiros. Moshe Amar V'yishki Yisrael Betach Bodeh Ein Yaakov. And as Mefarshim explained, Moshe Rabbeinu said only when Klal Yisrael are in the Madrega of Yisrael, of Yaakov Avinu, will they be secure. Ba Amos Ubitlo Shenema Chadl Nami Yaakov Yaakov. Ksev Nechem Hashem Alzois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't require us to be in such a great Madrega. Moshe Mabagoyim Ahem Lo Sagiyah, we will not find rest amongst the nations. Ba Yimi Vyama Holach Largia Yisrael. Moshe Amma Paikat Avos Abonim, that children suffer for the sins of the parents, and said, "Hanefesh haChatas," he told us, strictly the one that does the averus suffers, no one else. We will be lost amongst the nations. I'm worried about the pasuk that says, "Vavadatem bagoyim." Maskula Rapapa, says Rapapa, Dilma Kavedim Spekeshes. Maybe Pshat in the Pasuk is that something that's lost but still will be found. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, To Isi Kaseh Oved, I'm like a lost sheep, however Bakish Avdecha we can be found. Elam is safe for the Kra. What concerned them was what it says in the Pasuk at the end of the Pasuk, V'ochla Eschem Eretz Oivechem, we will be consumed by enemies. Maskula Mazutra V'dilma Kachilis Kshuv Medaluim. Maybe it's like cucumbers and melons, that the pits always remain, whereas the Mefarshim explained, the pits are planted into the ground and then they multiply. So too, even if Klal Yisrael are Rachman Tzlan in the ground, we will multiply and we will survive and we will grow. Says the Gemara V'Hakvayi, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Kiva Mahalch Maderech. They were walking along the way. They heard the sound of Rome coming from Rome, the tremendous rejoicing. Berachik, they could hear the noise, 120 mil away. And they began to cry, Rav Akiva Masachik. And not that Rav Akiva wasn't crying, but he wasn't crying the same degree as they were. Why are you crying? I'm like kishoyim shemishtachvim latzabim. If these people who worship avodah zarah mekatrim avodah kachavim yoshkin beta v'hashkeid sit so securely v'anu and we hadoyim base regle alokenu sarav our base amidish is destroyed b'eish with in the fire v'lei nifka should we not cry? I'm a mekach ani mitzachek. That's why I'm exactly happy. Mal oivi ritzonikach. If this is the way that the people who don't serve Hashem properly get certainly lois ritzon alachas kam v'kama. Shur pamachas haya oylin Yerushalayim. Kima shigil ha'atsoifim when they got to ha'atsoifim kerubig deyem. They were crying. Kima shagil ha'ar and Kiva also, the Mara says, seems to say, tore his begodim. Kima shigil ha'ar bayis roshul shiyot beis kotche kotche. They saw a fax going out of the base of Migdash. Hischilu Baichin Rabbi Kiva Mitzachi. They cried and Rabbi Kiva was happy. Farshim explained Rabbi Kiva was happy because he saw there wasn't Goyim, human Goyim, who were in the base of Migdash. No one was worthy of being in the base of Migdash. It was reduced to faxes. Why are you happy? The base of Migdash on which it says, Vazar Karev Yumas. Now, V'achshav Shulim Hilchuba, Amalem L'kach Ani Mitzachek. That's exactly why I'm happy. T'ksiv V'idol Echari Edom Namonim Es Uriah Koyin V'Zachari Ben Yivrachayo. Ask the Gemara V'chi Ma'inyin Uriah Etzel Zachari. How does the Pasuk put Uriah and Zachari into the same Pasuk? Uriah was the Migdash Rishon and Zachari was in the Migdash Sheni. Ella says the Gemara Tala Kos Nevuasa Shel Zachari V'Nevuasa Shel Uriah. The Torah connects their two Nevuas. Buryaksiv, regarding Uriah, the Pasuk says, L'klaim b'glalchem tzioin sada t'charish. Yerushalayim will be plowed up. B'zchariaksiv, og yishvi, zakenim, zakenis, prechoivis, Yerushalayim. Actually, in the sky, in the Nevuasa shel Uriah, until the Nevuah of Uriah, about the destruction of Yerushalayim was fulfilled, Hayisi Mesiari, I was concerned, says Rabbi Kiva, shloit the sky, in the Nevuasa shel Zachariah. However, Achshav Shin Eskaimer Nevoasa Shal Uriah, I know be Yidua Shin Nevoasa Shal Zachariah Miskayemus will also be fulfilled. But Loshen Aza Amrloi Akiva Nechamtanu Akiva Nechamtanu. And the Farshim explained what is Pshat that he said Nechamtanu twice. So I saw a beautiful Pshat. In the previous Gemara, all they Rabbi Kiva said was that the Goyim live in peace, so too we will live in peace. Here, Yekiva said much more. It's not just that we will live in peace, but we will live in peace and have a Beis HaMikdash, a double nechama. The nechama of the living in peace, Klai Yisrael will be zoicha to, but also we will be zoicha to live with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Shechina amongst us. So I saw a beautiful pshat. We know that in life, at times, people go through difficult experiences. They go through Malkus and they don't understand why. But of course everything is with a cheshbin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for us. So we say, Hadmelach Elo Leinu Leiken. When we look back at the Malkus that we have experienced in our life, we see when we experienced them, we didn't understand why. But later on we understand Vesalikulu Masechta Makis. Everything, all the Makis that we received, Vesaliku, there was a reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us those Makis. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu have our help, that all of us, specifically and especially the Lomdei HaTorah, as we learned in the last Mishnah, Rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas Yisrael, Lefika Chibur Lehem Torah Mitzvahs, we who attempt to be Marba Torah Mitzvahs, as so is the Rotzon Hashem, that we should never experience any Malkus. We should never experience Hein Aloikin. We should only experience Brachas, V'Yeshuas, V'Nechomis. Hadron Lach Eilein Aloikin, V'Slikul Lach Masech Tamakas.